This is VK6ARN, News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi, this is Clinton, VK6FCRC, and this is News West for the 2nd of July 2023. Now over to Steve Kennedy, VK6SJ, with Did You Know?
Hi, I'm Steve, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? Today I thought I'd talk about CTCSS. Anyone who has completed a foundation course recently would have heard learnt the basics of the use of CTCSS, but also that only one repeater in WA seems to use it. What is CTCSS and why do we use it? Well, CTCSS is a subaudible tone used to validate a received signal prior to allowing that signal to be either presented to a speaker or, in the case of a repeater, presented to the transmitter for retransmission. The tone is typically transmitted about 500 Hz deviation, remembering that the deviation of a normal voice transmission is 5 kHz, so presents to the receiver as a much louder signal, and uses a one of a set of tones universally recognised and available in any radio employing CTCSS. The reason for using the tone is that it assists in ensuring no interference or invalid signal can trigger a repeater, where repeaters share a common frequency, prevents the two repeaters from locking up, i.e. each repeater triggering the other during periods of ducting, and from a mobile or portable perspective, prevents invalid signals from presenting to your speaker. On 2 metres in particular, there are many devices that will overload most ham rig receivers, often at traffic lights or around service stations. Rogue paging transmitters will also often interfere, again mostly on 2 metres. Ham rigs are often dual band radios and by definition need to have reasonably wide filtered receiver front ends, so tend to be a bit more susceptible to interference, even by devices that are actually compliant to Australian specifications. In the commercial radio sector, CTCSS has been mandatory for decades and is very commonly used. In fact, I don't think I've ever come across an analogue radio system not using either CTCSS or a proprietary protocol carrying out the same purpose. On the East Coast, where there are obviously many more hams and more repeaters in close proximity, CTCSS has become much more commonplace. In WA, there are far less repeaters using common frequencies where you actually need to use something like CTCSS, so we tend not to use this. The benefits of using CTCSS, though, even maybe only on a repeater transmitter so that users can employ receiver protection if they so desire, are definitely worth the effort, which in most cases is just a matter of reprogramming the feature into the configuration of the repeater or user radio. CTCSS has been a standard feature of any ham rig built since the early 80s, and even for the older radios, there's still one or two companies online selling CTCSS encoded decoder boards that can add the feature to the oldest radios. I would suspect the percentage of radios in WA not capable of using CTCSS, though, would be well under 1%. Speaking to other hams about this feature has brought out some interesting reasons why we shouldn't implement it. It's not needed is one of the biggest ones. However, I think most of us have had to turn the 2 metre rig down when passing a service station, for instance, so I can see why it could be needed. Some radios might not have that feature. I believe some members of our community tracked down a rogue paging transmitter that was interfering with a local simplex channel or repeater. I'm not sure the exact details. Had CTCSS been employed, the interference would have only been noticeable very close to the location of the interfering transmitter, where the interference was a higher signal than the valid transmission. If you have a radio that's more than 40 years old, might be a good time to convince the trouble and strife that you need a new rig. If you have a homemade radio, then I'm sure implementing this feature could be a walk in the park. So, struggling to think of the next club project, maybe this one should be it. Thanks for listening. This has been Steve, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know?
Terry Clinch, VK6LTC, advises us, sadly, of the passing of his father, Ian Clinch, on the Tuesday, the 27th of the 6th, 2023, at Trinity Lodge, Juniper Aged Care Facility in Bentley. He was born in Geraldton on the 1st of March, 1926, making him 97. Ian followed on the family tradition in amateur radio. Is Dad Gladstone VK6JR, or JP from memory, was a long time ago and achieved his license in 1954, a full call with Morse, and was given the VK6AL call sign, Crayfish Legs, as he was known by those who knew him well, or were on holidays with us camped out at the mouth of the Grenith River, feeding on lovely cooked local caught crayfish. There was more humour in ham radio back then. He loved amateur radio and was keen contester, scoring well in worldwide contests, as well as the local RD contests. Others. He always had a mobile transceiver, a pole or two, and some wire stacked away in the trailer, usually some old military radio, as most did in those days. He's farming on a property just east of Milling when he acquired his license, using the knowledge he gained while training and serving as a radar technician with the RAAF at Pierce Air Force Base during the war. He built all his own amateur gear and a 60-foot self-standing tower, to which he bolted a huge VK6GU beam with assistance from the beam builder and good friend John Harlock, VK6GU. Another good friend was VK6 Kilo Juliet, Bernie Gates. Bernie, Ian Clem, VK6W, John VK6GU, and a chap in Woburn Ray, I think it was his name, and a few others that I can't remember were instigators in setting up the 80-metre shaver net, which is still active to this day. I remember Bernie was mobile. He had a 101 hanging below the dash of his car. Plenty of room back then. He put a smile on his face and made his day when I told him I'd checked in on the current shaver's net group with my own call sign. Moving on and using his electronic knowledge, Ian was responsible for introducing HF radio to the local civil defence group, mining companies, government departments such as the country medical and community health services, and SESWA travelling the state in a converted, non-insulated Bedford Craven AE van, installing servicing HF radio systems statewide. He was married to Roma, XYL deceased for 70 years, 1947 to 2015, who reluctantly allowed him to pursue his ham radio hobbies. His list of achievements goes on and on, but I just don't have time on this forum. Ian's funeral service will take place in the Chapel of Bora and O'Day Funeral Directors, 1307 Albany Highway, Cannington, commencing 10 a.m. on the Friday, the 14th of July, 2023. Rest in peace, old man. Terry Clinch, VK6 LTC.
This is WAG, the West Australian Repeater Group. This is WAG, the West Australian Repeater... No, not that kind of repeater group. The next meeting of WAG is tomorrow evening at the Scout Hall, number 12, Australia 2 Drive, in Crawley. Come along if you can. Doors open at 7 p.m. as usual for a 7:30 p.m. start. The WAG website is to be found at www.warg.org.au. That's warg.org.au. Are you not a member yet? Consider joining. Come along and catch up. Have a coffee and a biggie and learn about repeaters. Hope to see you there tomorrow night. This has been Mark, VK6FIVE for VK6RRG, and you are listening to News West.
This is Martin, VK6 Mike Juliet for the Peel Amateur Radio Group. Just an update on our repeater, which is VK6RMH on 146.850 MHz with a 91.5 CT-CSS tone. The repeater is operating in All-Star. We've now enabled the Echolink node on the All-Star node as well. So with your Echolink programs, if you dial up VK6RMH-R or node number 692831, you will be able to connect to our repeater directly and through the repeater into the All-Star network as well. Martin, VK6 Mike Juliet for the Peel Amateur Radio Group.
Good morning, Roy, VK6X Ray Victor with this week's helpline for the 1st of July 2023. Nothing to report today, unfortunately. No one called in with anything for sale, help, wanted, whatever. So today we have very little for you, or in fact zero for you. If you like anything next week, please contact me, the email address victorkilo6xrayvictor@bigpond.com, and I will deal with whatever you require at that time. This is Roy, VK6XRayVictor73 for now.
I'd like to thank all the volunteers, contributors and broadcasters each week, as without you it wouldn't be possible to produce the weekly news. Please remember to send your contributions into newswest@vk6.net before midday Fridays. Also, before I go, remember, NewsWest is also available now as text on the vk6.net website. And I'm VK6FCRC. Please stand by after the audience for callbacks.